Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we get together and test each other's patience. And I think your patients won because they're all fit and healthy and all my patients died. I should have been more careful about what I gave them. Intravenous chocolate cookies is probably not a good thing. Oh, but at least you and I were not hurt and we can spend more time together testing each other. Well, hello, friend. I didn't see you come in because I am concentrating on what I'm doing because it's a very important task. I am babysitting, which is a bit of a misnomer because there's not a lot of sitting involved. And often the person for whom you are caring is not a baby. They could be a baby. It could be a toddler. They could be a small child, like 8-year-old child or something. They could be an elderly person. They could be that creature from Eraserhead, or just a mischievous monkey. So it really depends. It's just somebody who can't fend for themselves, and I'm watching out for that person until the person who loves them more gets back from grocery shopping or whatever they're doing, or maybe they're at yoga or at the gym, because they need a break. They say, as much as I love this person, taking care of them is very exhausting. And sometimes you just think, well, maybe I should just, you know, let them fall into that fiery pit or something. But no, not at all. So I'm watching a young person today. Yes, I'm like Foghorn Leghorn watching some chick. That didn't come out right. Could sound like I'm some 50s hipster or something. I meant a little chicken. And I'm watching a child today. And say, can a chicken watch a child? So, Hardy, how qualified do you have to be a babysitter like yourself? Well, you know, I tell you, there's a book for children. I'm not going to mention it. But it implies that a Rottweiler dog could watch an infant. And I mean an in-diapers infant. And that the Rottweiler could do an adequate job, though it nearly drowns the baby. I'm not going to spoil it for you. It's a great book. But I don't know what the message is there. Can a dog take care of a child or whatever? Now, you see children raised in the forest by animals. This happens all the time, as we know. Casper Hauser. Say, oh, I was raised by wolves, or I was raised by crickets. People don't say that often. I was raised by insects. The insects, they made me one of them. And that's how I learned to cooperate with people, because I lived with the ants. And yes, they spent some extra time making me a hole big enough that I could descend into their labyrinth of tunnels. Oh, maybe they weren't ants. They could have been just, they were very large. Or maybe I shrunk down. I don't know. I don't remember a lot about my childhood. Everything seems, bigger then. So maybe the ants, a size distortion. Could have been another universe. All I know is that I am now babysitting. I got to find things to entertain the child. I don't know what to do. How do you entertain a small child or something? I thought hire an old Catskill comedian to come and do a living room show. I thought it'd be very intimate. I charge maybe, is $100 a ticket too much? But I'm having a hard time getting him in here. Anyway, that is not age appropriate. So how old is the child you're watching? I don't want to spoil it for you yet, because you'll have all sorts of ideas. Leave your mind open. Even if it was an elderly person that was at the end of their life, wouldn't they want to make fun pancakes or something? So who knows what you want to do at all? Some people have all sorts of tastes. Oh, I want to play Twister or something with you. Uncle Hardy? Oh, I can't. I'm going to hurt my arm. I would love to do some of those things. Also, board games. I can't play because I fall asleep. I'm sorry. It's not that they're not interesting. It's just to me. Oh, my goodness. I don't know whether I have trouble concentrating, but I just can't get up a good head of steam or interest in a board game. So what could we do? I like throwing stuff at other stuff. Do you have darts or anything? So anyway, while I'm watching a child today, what are you doing, nephew? What are you doing over there? I'm shooting out fiery lasers out of my eyes. Well, what on earth put that idea in your head? The movies? So you got to be careful what you let them watch, because they'll emulate things. And if you emulate stuff you see in the movies, it could lead to disaster. I know this because after a viewing of Zardoz, I went around wearing a red loincloth and knee boots for a long time. And people say, oh, in a way, it's a good look. And I said, I know, there's just something missing. And they said, a mask or a gym membership. Oh, my goodness. So you be careful. I don't know what you see in X-Men or something. You let them watch these movies, and the next thing, the children are walking through walls and controlling people with their minds and everything. They'll do stuff like that. Sort of a reverse Cat in the Hat, where it's actually the babysitter who is terrorized and given a lesson in, I don't know what the lesson of that book is, other than, you know, embrace chaos or something, because it'll all end well in the end. That's not, I don't know, just I've rebelled against that book. Not all children's books give you good messages. Oh, my goodness, that Exorcist. It might be about a child, but I think, well, I don't know what they're trying to say. And children does, sometimes it seems like there's demons in them. I understand that. And especially when they do demonic things, like hang upside down on the ceiling and things like that. But it's not, one man's demon is another man's demigod. So I think I just embrace it and I say, come on, you silly, get off that ceiling, come on down, have some blood. And I, you know, I just play along with them like that. And they'll go, oh, your mother does so-and-so in hell. And I say, I don't care what her job is. Bless her heart. I know she's working. She works hard. Oh, I don't mind being a babysitter. I don't mind just keeping company. So, well, it doesn't really test your skill set. Good. My skill set is missing a couple attachments, I think. It's like my socket set. You know how many of those sockets I'm missing in my socket set? All of them, because a friend borrowed them and never returned them. So now I'm missing all of them. But I do have one of those handles left. Oh, I'm speaking metaphorically. Friends, is your socket set empty because, I don't know why? I'll tell you, you can blame it on the socket set. Say, it's just set up to lose. Of course I'm going to lose. You know, I can't possibly keep this. When you get the socket set, you look at it, you go, this is not going to be like this in a year. I know that. Oh, life is like that, friends. Caregiving is like that. Say, if I'm caring for a child, then I'm just waiting for them to get better, right? And then they're going to be adult. And they'll say, okay, now I can care for myself. What if I'm caring for somebody at the end of their life? Well, I say, do I want this to end? Because then they're gone or something. What if I'm caring for somebody who's at the beginning of their life but clearly is not going to be able to fend for themselves? What kind of caregiving is that? Oh, my goodness. Why are we helping one another out? That's what I want to know. I'm doing it for money. Actually, I'm doing it for points. I'm going to be able to borrow their shopper's card and get some points off of gas. That's why I'm doing it. Not that I don't like my nephew, but hey, now stop it with the laser eyes. But I'll make it wood burning. Oh, that's very nice. Look what you've done, a nice plaque. What's it say? It says welcome. Oh, it's a welcome plaque that you've burned with your eyes. Oh, that's so brilliant. Someday, if there are really mutants, we're mutants all the time. That's how evolution works. We're all mutants. It's just that our powers are subtle. Yes, you're right. Although I can fly. I've sensed that. I knew you could fly because of the convenience store cups all over. So I'm not driving him, and he's little. Where are these cups coming from? And now I realize you're flying off the convenience store. We did that on our bicycles when I was young. When I was young, there was a part of the military. There was a platoon of young boys on their bikes with banana seats and those high bars in the back and a flag, a safety flag like that. And we would put clothespins on the spokes of our bikes and put playing cards on there and go, we rode into battle like that. And we fought in all major wars up until the Second Propopidine War. Wrong? Am I in the wrong universe? Is this not making any sense to you? I'm so sorry. I get dizzy. I do so many shows and so many possible worlds. Half the time, I don't know which one I'm in. And I'll go, you know, Cleveland. There's a whole universe called Cleveland. I'm not talking about the city. And they'll go, no, 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 no. You're in Universe X. That's really their name. They call themselves Universe X because they recognize their own intrinsic mystery. Isn't that interesting? I was once watching a science fiction movie like that, and they said, we are the controllers of Planet X. They go, what a coincidence. That's what we call you on Earth because we didn't know your name. We just guessed at it. What are the odds that you also call yourself Planet X? And it's funny. Do people call themselves what we call them? Germany, that's not its name for itself. Deutschland is what it calls itself. Japan calls itself Nippon. You call me Hardy White. I call myself Dummy Fool. Like that. No, I don't. I don't be. So should you beat up on yourself? Well, should you beat a child? And you go, yes. And go, no, 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 no. No, neither one. Don't hit it. Don't beat up on anything, really. It's not necessary. You can use, I use Pop-Tarts or something. Say, I'm going to give you a sweet toaster pastry if you do what I want you to do. So how does that work with yourself? You are two people, aren't you? Your babysitter and your baby. You know that. You know there's two of you. When you say things like, I can't control my urges, you're talking about two different people. Because the I who wants to control and the urgy thing are two different. We recognize that. It was Sigmund the Sea Monster Freud who once said, hey, what is wrong with you? And that's when people started lying to therapists. They go, if I'm going to be judged like this, this fella's putting it in books. So no, 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 no more. That'd be interesting. So, oh, my therapist. The other day I was reading a book, and it sounded exactly like my therapy session. It's weird. I wonder if my therapist is also writing books and stuff. That's why I wonder if somebody's thinking that. And that happens. I wonder if that happens. It happens with doctors. I know. I like to read books by doctors. Say, here's my wacky patient. Thinks his foot's a carbonated beverage or something. That's great. Oliver Sacks or something. There's a lot of books like that. Neurologists will go, you will not believe that a guy that came in my office the other day thought he was Rosie Greer or something, but he was a tiny little white man. So all stuff like that, and you love reading about that because the human brain, oh my goodness, when it's different than what you're used to, can give you some insight. What are we all about? Oh, babysitting can give you some insight. How should I occupy people at different ages? Hardy, help me out. Well, I've had experience. Let me give you some. A very young child. Now, back in the 90s, we thought that if you showed children videotapes of little toys, like little colored balls or something being dropped, and the soundtrack was Mozart, that the child would develop extraordinary superhuman cognitive abilities. You see what I'm saying? It was a sort of benevolent eugenics. And so I'm going to make a super baby by hypnotizing them. And so they play Mozart. Now, I'm no classical music critic. Oh my gosh, I'm ignorant. I'm an idiot. But I listen to classical music, and I find Mozart to be a little bit flippant and frivolous. I find his music to be clever for the sake of itself, and it does not move me emotionally. In fact, it makes me feel like I'm being slapped about at an amusement park. Now, that said, and I know for a fact there's something wrong with him. That said, so I think that gets conveyed to the child. So what we've done is we've developed a new thing. Rather than have just little toys being played with, I came up with a videotape. And what it is, follow me now, instead of little colored balls going by, it's Ricky Jay doing card tricks. All right, sound is off. You can't hear him. All right, so you don't hear his banter, his patter. And he's just doing card tricks, and the child watches that, right? And he's not distracted by Ricky Jay will do the patter, say, these five cards are the five Chinese kings. In the early days of the kingdom, the first Chinese king, which we'll represent with the ace of spades, blah, blah, blah. So they won't hear that and just be watching the hand. So the child will learn to see sleight of hand. The child will learn to see tricks when it's being fooled and everything. And then the soundtrack? Oh, the soundtrack can be a couple of things. I think Charles Ives would be good. Just off the top of my head, if it's an American child, I would go French child, I would say Satie. So it just really, we've had, now we're publishing them in every single country. It's great, friends. I've got so many videotapes, but no, I'm not selling anything. But that's one that came up. Now, older child, what are you going to do with them? A lot of them, it depends. If is it a toddler? Now they're walking a little bit. And I like to play, hey, hang on to that for a minute while I go hide or something. But they have that, and they can be occupied with physical things. So you can make them do stuff. I say optical course. We get these big rolls. A lot of times, giant. I live in a neighborhood that has giants, legitimate giant people. And they have giant products as well. And if you get their toilet paper, empty toilet paper roll, or after they're done with it, it's the size of a sewer conduit. And the child can crawl through it. It's so much fun. And it's just like they have it some sort of fast food restaurants for the child loves crawling through tubes. Why? I don't know. It's something primal. It has to do with being born and everything. The creators of Star Trek realized that. And they'd have Scott. Now, these are highly, you know, that's an allegorical tale, Star Trek. So whenever you see Scotty and he's crawled up in that Jeffers tube, that's really the birth canal. And he's saying, Captain, we're certainly I'm going to die. I'm not going to be born. I'm going to languish here in the Jeffers tube birth canal where I'm working on putting the, what are the rods they use in Star Trek to power the ship? Fallopian rods or something. Use them. We're running out low on them. Antimatter and matter. And so, but then he's born. And every week they come back again. Don't they? Until they're canceled. And then they're gone. Oh, this babysitting job's going to go on, bear. You want to watch some TV? TV is the great hypnotist. In fact, that's on. Look, let's see. TV Guide says, great hypnotist. 2 stars. Story of a who was in it even? Oh, the fellow that played the elderly security guard on Andy Griffith. Oh, bless it. I used to have a book. And it was a sort of movie Bible. Now, this is before the internet, or before it was right around when there was just starting to be cable, maybe. But they would play movies, you know, just on regular TV. And local TV stations were like, we don't know what to do. And they would just play old, here's an old cheap movie we got. We're mainly just going to do the news. And then, I don't know, during the day, y'all watch some movies. So they'd show these old movies. So I bought a book. Because I have a disease that makes me want to look at lists of things and everything. I bought a book that had a bunch of old movie reviews and everything and synopsis, just like you'd have in a directory. And I'd look at the movie, old movie would play, and I would open the book and say, yes, it's look at this. It's supposed to be about this. It was so exciting. And now I think children don't get excited when some old movie comes on because like, oh, I can just go online and find that. I could just go online and find that. I know you can. I'm talking about you. You hear me, don't you? Yeah, I hear you. I burned down part of the house. You did not. I did not.
Oh, you're just fooling me.
No, but I did turn it all to ice, and then I shattered it accidentally with a giant hammer that I made out of one of my hands.
Oh, you can transform yourself into other objects and everything. What can we do? Oh, I'm getting bad thoughts. Maybe we can rob something. If you were going to rob a place, what would you rob? Oh, that's no place. Stealing's wrong. But if you're asking me just in the hypothetical, I would say art museum. Oh, my goodness. Not that it's right to steal, but I always think, you know, that I know that this painting is not in the possession of the person who did it. All right, so I'm assuming they bought it. And then who knows, they could have had it stolen in the war. We don't know who owned these things before they get in museums necessarily. They sort of think they know, but we don't know if everybody got a fair price or whether the artist originally, you know, sold it under duress. Or we have no, it's impossible to know anything about anything, is what I'm saying. No, that's not true. But now,
That requires this art to be made into a commodity. Oh, can anybody really own it? So, when you're stealing art, are you not liberating it? Saying, hey, this is something that cannot be owned. Like the sky, well, where should we put it? Well, I say, take it out of a museum and put it somewhere where everybody can see it, like a museum.
So what I propose to do is steal art from a museum and then return it to that museum. Often so quickly the museum doesn't even know it's gone. Sometimes I won't even bother to touch the work. I do this in real life. I'll go into a museum and I will, in my mind, steal it and put it back. Just to prove a point. And the point is, hey, nobody owns this, just to be clear. Until it belongs, doesn't it? It belongs to humanity. Just like your album. No, I don't know. Bless your heart. Do what you got to do. If you have to sell, oh, I need to sell my music to survive, then do. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I need to sell my body. Well, it depends what you mean. What do you mean, like hack it up and sell the parts or something? Like an old car? No, I just sell the experience of it. Oh, that's sort of what I do, except I don't get paid. Bless all of you. Where'd he go? Where'd my nephew go? Oh, no, 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 no. See, this is why you don't do it. I tell you, a lot of times teenagers, when they're babysitting, will say, I'm just going to have all my friends over, the Archies. Archie, Veronica, Verena, all with them, Jughead, Randy. They all come over the house, and we're going to listen to party records. Party records? Like what? Like Rudy Ray Moore? I don't know. Red Fox or something? Party records. Pig Meat? We're going to have fun. And then, so where's the child? Where's the child? I wasn't watching child. I was watching my grandfather. He needs to be watched. Well, where is he? Oh, he can take care of himself. And they don't. And the grandfather wanders off and starts a nonprofit somehow online. And it's successful. And he's got all this money now. I said, what's he going to do? Now you got to do something charitable with it, or you're going to get in tax trouble. And this is just because the teenager's thinking just about themselves. So I say, stay alert. If you're watching a baby, keep your eyes on that baby unless you have laser fire eyes. I can turn it on and off. All right, do that. But don't make me mad. Don't you threaten me with your eyes. If looks could kill.
My looks can kill.
All right. Well, your voice came out of me.
I heard that.
Isn't that funny? When you're around people long enough, you start to sound like them, I think.
Yes. If people live in the house together, their voices often start to synchronize.
They do. I noticed this. Also, their productivity cycle. Like, sometimes I'm just more productive. And what do you mean by productive? I mean, I better have a more successful time in the bathroom. And other times, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. My gut is not, get moving, y'all. I need to send a little boss in there and say, listen, I need to talk to all of you. Now, do I have to remind you that if this business, and by this business, I mean digestion, fails, we all fail. None of us have a place to work. You realize that. So as flawed as this corporation, and by corporation I mean intestines, are, we still have to make it work. All right? We do what we do, what we can, we do, and how we do. We go to the bathroom with the colon we have, not the one we wish we had. And this is the wisdom of the ages. I think that was his name. The ages. Oh, if your last name means something, I pity you. That would be a fun last name. No, but did you get teased? Did you get teased in school if your last name is dentist or something? I don't know. Hey, I am just trying to be with you. Watch out. Say I don't need a babysitter. I didn't say you did, but sometimes it's just nice to have company, isn't it? So I'm home alone this evening. I could watch myself. But it'd be nice to have somebody just paying a little extra attention to me, make sure I didn't get into trouble, like subtle trouble. You know what I mean? Like emailing people I have no business emailing. That kind of thing. Take my mind off of things. Distract me. Play a board game. Oh, I do enjoy some board games. And I'm going to make some confessions to you about my intellect. And it's very difficult for me to admit these things. But I'm not good at games because I'm not smart, I think. When I play children and they beat me at it. And they go, well, you could learn to play well. And I go, but I can't keep the thoughts in my thought thing long enough. You know what I'm saying? So I'm poor at checkers, which means, of course, I'm poor at chess. I know all the moves. I mean, I know what to do. And I once memorized some opening moves, and it made me look good for a second against somebody who had never played. But, and I enjoy backgammon, and I'm not bad at that. I'm not terrible at backgammon. I like that. But I'm miserable at most games, and that's why I don't play. Cards, I like cards, and I'm mixed there. Depends on the game. If it's a low-skill game, yes. High-skill game, no. Well, now, how have you gotten by all these years? Because I have an internal babysitter that keeps me from getting in trouble and knows what I'm capable of doing and what I'm not capable of. A good babysitter will let you make pancakes, but not let you destroy the kitchen. A good babysitter will let you make a miniature golf course out of the living room without destroying the furniture. A good babysitter knows your limitations and wants you to be as in charge as you possibly can because they want to talk to their boyfriend or girlfriend. But they also know what you need, like how much encouragement you need, how much attention you need, and all that stuff too. So we need that in our lives, I think. Somebody to help us fend a little bit. Now, they don't have to be obvious. You can use a poet. So this poet's my babysitter. So who'd you get? I go, oh, I got Allen Ginsberg. So I feel like I don't feel unsafe. But I wish I'd gotten somebody else. I'm just saying. I don't know. He's not avuncular in that way. He's like an uncle with a small U or something. If I was gonna have a poet just watch over me, who would it be? I wonder. I don't know. Somebody with good sense, maybe. Emily Dickinson was solitary. Maybe she'd get it. I totally understand. She said to me one time, if I had a basement, I'd be in it. I understand you 100%. Thank you. And boy, I tell you, it's hurtful when people say, oh, you dumb man alone in the basement. I go, oh man, they're talking to me. That's me. Sometimes they'll say their parents' basement, but it's not my parents' basement. No, it's a kind lady who I rent it out from. But still, I do pay my rent. I pay it in tiny crayon drawings. She's very nice that way. So I'm sorry, I'm behind on my drawings. She said, well, I gave you all the things you needed, all the old box lids that you need to do the crayon drawings on. I know. And I got you fresh crayons. I know. I'm just so behind because I've been doing other things. Like the other day, it was so nice out. I went and I just napped in the grass and like that. And I was like, and she said, what are you, Walt Whitman? And I go, no, Walt Whitman would have spent all day writing. No, I'm like Walt Whitman without the productivity or something. Oh, why can't you just experience life? Why do you have to write it down, prove you lived it? Why do you have to prove you did things? That's the social media does that. Say, oh, I just had joy, just experienced life. I must make a record of it, and I must show others so they know that I've experienced. I wonder why that is. You're proving it to yourself, too, maybe, that it really happened. It is like one of these things. If I have a good time and there's nobody, I have nobody to tell, what's the point? What's the point of my experiences if I can't convey them to others? You know, that's what they say about golf. You spend you're walking out, you can't tell, you did spent hours at it, but you can't really tell anybody. Some people try, don't be friends with them. But my goodness, that's a real experience. Can it be conveyed? That's why we want virtual reality. Some, it's not enough for you to me. He said, it's not enough for you to tell me the story of your experience. I would like to also experience firsthand. And so the holodeck was created in the Star Universe and virtual reality. And I can go in there and I can be, we have a cowboy set. Let's do it on a cowboy set. And the space captain will be a cowboy sheriff.
We got a Victorian set.
Let's do it in Victorian England. Was there a Victorian anywhere else?
Well, I mean, they didn't call it that. They don't say Victorian Vietnam.
No, they don't. This takes place in Victorian Vietnam. No, it's always England. What other sets do we have?
We have a French Revolution one.
Oh, that'd be fun. Let's do that. Play at that. It's not enough to read about it. I want an uncomfortable, bug-infested, powdered wig on my head. I want to know what it's like. That's why people do historical reenacting. They say, yeah, you can tell me all day that wool underwear itches. I want to feel it. I want to feel how it itches. I want to feel what it feels like to have things, bugs crawling all up in my armpits because I didn't wash. No, not necessarily. I don't mind reading about some things. There's some lives I can't live. I can only live this one life. I've been born into a certain circumstance. I look a certain way. I didn't pick my background, but here I am. I'm in it. But there's so many lives that could be lived. There's so many people with so many different experiences. And I just a little bit want to experience some of that too. How do I be you for just a moment? And we can do that through books. Ba-dum-thump. Hey, did you ever wonder about reading up a book? Well, hey, I just finished a good one. It's all about something happened to somebody who lives in another country. They buy a horse. Turns out to be magic. I won't spoil it for you, but be sure to read this book. It's a goodie. Ba-dum-bum. Oh, we are reading all sorts of rainbows. I read the sky as if it were tea leaves. Look at that. What does that cloud say? Someday the clouds will actually spell something out, legible. People think it's skywriting, but it won't be. It'll just be that one in a million, one in a billion chance that the clouds put letters in some order that's an English word. And people in English-speaking countries will go crazy. And people in the rest of the world will go, I just see clouds. Say, no, it's a message. I don't think so. I think it's just one of those one in a billion things where you saw what you wanted to see. Oh, it can all happen. That's why I go to possible worlds. I wonder if the fifth doctor was a red rubber ball. And there's a universe for that. And you just go. Now, the machine to get you there is complicated. And it runs on glucose. So I don't recommend doing it for everybody. Why do you do it, Artie? I've already lost my mind. I have nothing to lose. So what do you mean you lost your mind? Oh, I'm not sure I know what I mean by that. I haven't. It's sound for now. I'll lose it eventually, I bet you. It's like a child. When you take a child to the zoo, you know eventually you're going to lose it. That's not true. No? That's not everybody? I just done terrible babysitter. Right now, though, I am looking right at a nephew, and he has been still and not moving for minutes. This is great. So I think everything is fine. And who are you waiting for to get back? Well, I call them my brother-in-law. They're just friends from school. We would say, when we were in school together, we would say, we're more than friends. I'd say, we're like brothers. And they would go, brother-in-law. I said, okay, we're like brothers. Brothers-in-law is actually how you say it. And they'd go, all right, but more like that. I go, man, you're going to be like my brothers-in-law for life. And they are. They're my little circle of friends from school. And to this day, they're like people who married my sister to me. You know, not like people have the same parents because they don't get me. And if they had the same parents, they would sort of understand what I went through. Why, Hardy, what happened? My parents were superheroes. No, that's not true. I'm not going to tell tales about myself. I'll tell tales about you, but you don't know me. Well, that's good. It's not lying if I don't even know you. I'll just make something up that you did. It's probably travel to somewhere exotic that I haven't been. Really? Why did you live in China? Oh, well, I was there. They still have an emperor. No, they don't, I'm pretty sure. No, he's not in power or anything, but he lives in a cave. They've been hiding him for years as the descendant of the emperor from them. And then he said a dynasty. I don't even remember. I said, no way. He goes, yes, he has sort of a shadow court. And we go, and there's an ancient Chinese emperor lives underground. And that's where I was. I've been working there teaching English. Oh, that's fantastic. That's fascinating. And what kind of things have you learned? Oh, you know, ancient secrets. You know, they used to be when racism is incrementally getting better. And you can tell, you say, wow, that I don't know about that, Hardy. Go, oh, boy. Go watch some old TV or something. At least it's off of cartoons and advertisements a little bit. Oh, my goodness, the liberty we thought we could take. The way we hurt each other. And I tell you something, I'm for loving. That's why I'm here babysitting. Because even though I don't love you as much as your parents or whoever's watching you, I'll watch you for an hour so that you don't kill yourself. There you go. So I care a little bit. Oh, I can only care just a little bit because I'm Mary Poppins. I want to go from house to house, and all I'm trying to get you to do is clean your room, take your medicine, and have a better relationship with your parents, Mary. And also, I like to dance. The chimney sweep fella is intriguing to me. I like him, and a working guy who can dance is very attractive. So I tell you, maybe I'm like that. Maybe I'd like to fly using an umbrella. Who knows? I don't want to say. I want to remain a mystery. Are you a mystery, Artie? I am a mystery. I know I'm a mystery. A mystery to myself, even. I don't know quite who I am. I tried the other day. I found my wallet, and I was like, I looked through it. I said, I'm gonna get some clue to who this person is, and I found out a couple things. One is they're being tracked by a lot of retail stores because they have these little cards that purport to get you discounts when really they just track your purchases. Oh, things like that. So I don't know. Fool, I guess, is what I find. Once you discover you're a fool, do you need to go online and get a special suit of clothes to be a fool in? Do you need to buy accoutrements for your foolishness? Do you? Is there some sort of club? Do I need to register being a fool, or can I be a freelance fool? Ooh, am I still a fool if I'm working on my own? Ooh, I don't make as much money as a professional fool, but I'm telling you, I still am foolish. Hey, my goodness. Oh, I'm a fool, but I'm no clown. I'm not a fool because I want to be. I don't embrace foolishness. I am not anti-intellectual. I'm trying to improve myself. So if you see me being foolish or ignorant or hurtful, it's out of ignorance. Oh, I ask you forgiveness. I never mean to do that. So that's how you can tell the difference between somebody who's a jerk because they don't care whether they've been hurtful or something. Make an excuse. I do. I can take it. Go ahead. I can fend off those blows. I don't need to fend them. I can feel them. I don't mind feeling. Oh, ow, I am bruised. I feel foolish. But I'm not going to rebel against it. That's why you can't correct some people. You know what I'm saying? Because in reality, if you can't be corrected, it's because you have a childish fear of discomfort. Because there's nothing fatal about being corrected. And there's no physical pain in being corrected. And there's no physical pain in admitting that you were wrong or that you were hurtful or you did something that you regret. There's nothing wrong with regret. There's nothing wrong with feeling bad a little bit. And I think some people fear that. Don't fear it. Don't fear it. Because then you turn to these angry people who defend all their shortcomings. I don't care if it sounds harsh. Kill them all. Oh, listen to what just came out of your... What that ugly that just came out of you. Listen again. I don't care. Why don't you care? Care for a minute. Don't you ever cry anymore? Don't you ever feel that? Remember when you saw a dead puppy or something when you're 8? Go for that. I don't want to. I don't have to fear uncomfortable things because I'm a grown-up and I have money. I'm telling you, if you don't let yourself feel, you're going to lose it. And you won't be able to be in our human club anymore. It's not that we'll kick you out. You'll just stop coming. You'll stop coming to our club meetings. Because you don't care and you can't feel. I like to feel. Come on, nephew. You sure? Go on, do it. All right. I'm going to take my shirt off first.
Oh, my word.
No, just because I want to feel it more. Go ahead. Stare at me in the chest.
All right. Ow! Oh, it hurts! Ow, the pain! But you know what? I can take it.
And what my nephew is saying is, here are your shortcomings as a babysitter. Could you do this? I think you're being a little lazy. Could you please play a game with me? You say, oh, I'm bad at board games, or I'm bored by board games. Why don't you just put that aside? I like to do it. Can you just be uncomfortable for 30 minutes? And I'll have some pleasure, and then we'll do something that you like that I find stupid. All right. All right, I'll take that. That's a valid criticism. That was worth having fire lasers shot into my chest. And look at that. You manscaped me. You cleaned up my chest hair. Dang, it looks kind of looks good. Looks all right. Put your shirt back on. All right. I hear you. Oh, we can sit down now at the table. Let's get a bowl of snacks. You and Hardy White, getting a bowl of snacks, sitting down, playing a game. What's your favorite board game? It has to be just two players. It can't be Clue or Parcheesi or something that's minimum three for a good time. It's got to be a two-person game. Checkers. I told you I'm not very good at checkers.
I don't care. I want to win.
All right, then, oh, this is perfect, then. Just try your best. I will try my best, and who knows? Maybe I'll be able to say, king me. Oh, I've reached the end of the board, king me. I have tried my best, and somehow I have lost most of my best men, but one of them has gotten through, king me. What are you doing? I'm making a poem. You like it?
No.
It's dramatic. I'm doing a dramatic reading of my spoken word piece, King Me.
Don't do it.
King Me. It has two different meanings.
Stop.
Now listen, though. So, King Me is a command.
I get it.
All right, I'm sorry. I over-explain things. And why is that? Because I desperately want to make a connection with you. I want to be understood. That's why I keep going on and on. Possibly I will get through to you and I'll be understood. And what do you want me to see, Hardy? I just want you to see as different as we are, that we share some sort of humanity. And then that you share that with all human beings. You share that humanity. Bless you. You could be the baby of any of these. You could be all these people you see and all people you judge. What if you were in their custody? What if they were your babysitter? What if you were theirs? What would you do? Right? People thought all through history. What if I was Vercingetorix's babysitter? What would I do? I'm not familiar with his life. All right, let me pick somebody else. I'm trying to think of a historical figure now. Hang on now.
That's not far back.
What if you're Moe's babysitter? No, but the poking. Don't poke those eyes. I bet they didn't. You know why? Because I think it's like those kids who go away to college and all of a sudden say, they're all good up till then. They went college. They went nuts. I bet the Three Stooges didn't do any eye poking as children. I bet they got adults and they were like, I need to do all this now. I was so adult-like when I was a child that I need to be childlike for the rest of my adulthood because I've kept it suppressed. I must poke eyes. Oh, you have that. Don't you have that one friend who's still a child at heart? And you go, why are you wearing those jammies where the bottoms match the tops and everything? So I'm still a child at heart. And I still sleep with my dodo or whatever. What do they call those little, your lovey, your little animal that you sleep with that comforts you, little stuffed animal. And I don't sleep with I sleep with a stuffed animal, and it's shaped like, what is it shaped like? A pillow. It is a pillow, but it's my pillow baby, and sometimes I hug it. I have an interesting relationship with my pillow because I also have a bad arm, and I insist on sleeping on my bad arm, so I wake up a lot going, like that. And is there a right and wrong way, to sleep? I think there is. I've had friends pass away in their sleep. Isn't that something? Even at my age, die in their sleep from stopping breathing. A lot of them from apnea and all. Isn't that awful? Oh my gosh. This, I didn't mean to bring you down or anything. It's just sometimes I think how short life is or how briefly it's over like that, and I think, why are we feeling bad things? We could have joy. We could have a party right now. Nephew, I don't know why I've been waiting till now, but I'll tell you what, let's make some popcorn, let's make a snack, and let's start a circus. We can move the furniture out of the way. We're going to make a three-ring circus in the living room right now. This is going to be fantastic. There's going to be elephants. No elephants. What? What do you mean elephants? That's cruel. That's ridiculous. Oh, you're right.
What, man? No animals.
Okay.
Unless they want to be there.
All right. So, I know a monkey he would be in.
All right, he's cool.
And then... All right, but I agree with you. No.
No, that's, you know, no.
All right.
No megafauna.
All right.
No charismatic megafauna.
I get it. So can there be clowns?
No clowns.
Acrobats?
Too dangerous.
What element of the circus do you think we could have?
Dogs jumping through.
You said no animals.
All right. People dressed up as dogs jumping through hula hoops.
That sounds good. I saw that at a con one time. I don't know. I don't follow that one. What is that, an anime or something? Oh, we can still have fun. We don't have to call it a circus. I've seen all sorts of circuses. I saw a Russian circus one time. And they had puppets. And they were supposed to be clowns, but they didn't look like regular clowns. It looked like an old peasant lady being harassed by a bum. And that was a routine. Very funny. And then they had fellas on horseback who were ride real fast on horseback and lean over and pick up a handkerchief off the ground. That was exciting to me.
That's animals.
What?
The horses.
Oh. And there was also a bear in chains. I didn't like that.
Right.
Okay. So I feel you. Well, what do you want? How can we? I want to have something like that, like a circus or something.
How about a mechanical circus?
A mechanical circus. Go on.
We could make robots, and the robots could do beautiful dancing, and they could shoot fire lasers out of their eyes.
Maybe. Go on though.
And then. They could transform and beautiful shapes and colors and everything like that. Give me a minute.
I'll tell you what. Let's combine our ideas. I'll go get the monkey. You get the robot. I'll get some chips, and we'll have a circus. How many times have you said those sentences in that order? I've been waiting a whole hour to say that, I think. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad that... We're here, and you're thinking, you know, I don't know that I need a sitter. I don't feel like a baby. We all feel like a baby sometimes, don't we? No? All right, well, sometimes we feel like we do need to be taken care of. No? Well, I feel like I need to take care of people. So you're just going to have to... listen, I believe that this radio program that you're listening to is so that you're helping me. And how am I helping you? You're helping me I would be talking like this anyway. And my life would be so pointless. But if I can talk to you, and even with the only thing that I excel at, which I think is being silly and ignorant, if I can use that to maybe make you feel a little bit better, it gives me some purpose. And purpose can be anything, you know, it can be small. Sometimes we shoot too high. So I want to be a Nobel Prize winner. So I just want to look like I'm not a useless fool. That's it. Very low goal. And I'm going to meet it. Now, I do this with your help. Oh, my gosh. I can't possibly pay you back.
Yes, you can.
How?
Spend more time on the show.
What do you mean?
Do some research or something. Read something. Have something valuable to impart people. Like actual information.
Okay.
Now put more effort. I don't know. You show your love by putting in effort. For instance.
What?
A pie.
A pie.
Yeah, if you make a pie, if you make the crust really elaborate, you know, it shows, hey, you spent some time on this thing.
That's true. And what if the filling of the pie was something that also required a lot of time, like a cured meat, like pastrami or something?
No. But listen, it's a fruit pie. This is my analogy. Quiet.
All right.
So, well, anyway, that shows love, doesn't it? You put some thought, you put some time and effort into it.
Oh, okay. Well, I try to do that a little bit. I do it emotionally. I try to notice things, and I try to think about them actively. So I don't always have information to impart. But anything that I'm thinking is nice raw data for your analysis of life. So that is something I did not know before, perhaps. But if I were to tell you something I just read in the news, you have access to that. What you don't have access to is my incorrect perception of reality. And that possibly can help you, or at least gives you some sort of fuel for something, like maybe a book you're writing. You say, I'm going to make one of the characters an insane radio person. So hardy, I'll just steal his life and use him. Thank you, do that. Oh, let me tell you, I'm going to take a 1 minute out, and it only can be 1 minute, to ask you this. This radio station needs your support right now. In the form of money, you help us. This is a super short pitch to say that one of the shows has left the building for WFMU. So, and they had a lot of supporters. So we got to bring up the slack. So if this show has been meaningful to you at all, oh please, could you help us out, support us with money? Go to that page now and do that. All right, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Now I'm going to pretend it didn't happen.
Hardy, did you or did you not just ask for a pledge for the Silent Marathon?
I did not. No, that never happened.
But you clearly said it.
No, not true.
I just heard it.
Not true.
This show is archived. There's a recording. We could...
Didn't say it. Not true. Go back. Listen carefully, okay? That is not what I said. That is literally not what I said. Look, this is getting ridiculous. You're saying things exist that don't exist. You have no evidence for that. You'll say something, then you'll contradict yourself. At the beginning of the show, you'll say one thing, and then by the end, you'll go, no, I didn't say that. That's crazy. Why, yes. I must point out that you are listening to something that is described as Southern Inspirational Dada. If you hear what I'm doing anywhere else but in the context of Southern Inspirational Dada, then it is an act of aggression. Here it is not. Here it is. We are occupying a sort of mental art dojo. All right? Where we can safely flip each other and toss each other, do hip tosses. That's what we're doing right now. All right? Wing Chun you creatively. But if somebody does that without the mats, outside the context of our special safe dojo, then that's an act of violence. If somebody tells you what's true is not true and everything, I'd do it for so you can learn self-defense, right, emotionally. Oh, my friends, that's what we'll do together, nephew. What? Let's do some... quasi-martial arts. They're not really martial because we're not going to use them literally, right? It's martial arts of the mind.
Oh, I can't wait.
I know. Well, first of all, as you know, the history of the martial arts of the mind, it's a sort of gung fu. It's just a sort of discipline, a yoga, a discipline. All right? So I'm going to explain to you this mind gung fu right now and how to do it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Now, this has been used through the ages by vulnerable people. And the vulnerable people would watch the animals. They would watch the crane. They would watch the snake. They would watch the tiger. But those people that watch the tiger are not with us anymore because you don't really survive that. But you watch benign. They would watch the mantis. All right? They'd watch the lowly ant or something. And then they would learn how the animal survives internally in its mind. How do I do that? Oh, the physical enemies. Yes, I know that I can go bong sao and get them. block that punch. But what? How do I do it inside? What about the internal, emotional martial arts? How do I keep people from hurting me? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You become like the crane. And what is that? How's that? Well, get wings.
Get wings?
Yeah, get wings.
What are wings?
Wings help you fly.
Yeah, that I get.
Fly away.
What?
Fly away. You can always fly. You can soar in your mind. They can't get you. Everything is an escape. You know the forest. And what's hunting you does not know the forest. So every animal has the same plan. And that is, I'm one step away from being free. From running, because I know where I am. This is my environment. This is my mind. These are my woods. The woods of my brain woods mind.
What are you talking about?
I'm not exactly sure. But I think what I'm talking about is that a lot of things that when other people can get to us and everything, we've let it in our brain. Our brain is our brain. You know, people can, that's where you take over the hurt, right? Say, well, they're hurting me. Well, maybe you can do something about that internally, mitigate it so they don't have to physically destroy them. Oh, is that how I tolerate? Yes, and I apologize that when you cut me off in traffic, I look over at you and I imagine that you're a little baby in diapers. Maybe you're even singing the Adventure Time baby song or something. But that's what I do. And you go, well, that's hostile. I have to do that. I know it seems aggressive, but I have to do it so that I don't react. Because I have a long-term plan in my mind, in my secret society that I go to in my brain about how we will all live together in the future. I want it so badly. I don't know how to make it happen. I don't know how to right past wrongs. But I tell you what, I love all my human being brothers and sisters. All of you. And I want to learn how to not hurt you. And I want to learn how to be a good caretaker. I want to learn when you're an infant or when you're an old person, how to take care of you no matter who you are, no matter what your culture, your background, your family. Oh, I want that world. I long for it. I long to be that, some sort of shepherd when you need it. Oh, I don't mind watching those that would be preyed upon. My friends, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU, East Orange, WMFU, Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County. Mm-hmm. You know it. And you know that I have coded messages for Rockland County. So we're getting them, Hardy. Good. And online at WFMU.org. Oh, what a great way to listen. You can listen to the show. It is archived. As well, you can go and you can listen to those beautiful Rebecca archiving them up a storm. You can go back and you can listen to old shows and we can visit together. You can do this when you go, I need some literal bit. You know what? I'm leaving the house and I'm leaving the child by itself. Hit self, as they say in Appalachia. And I'm just going to leave your show running. And that should do it. Oh, my goodness. Not without some sort of videotape of puppets. I need to do that. I'm going to get on that. I'm just going to do hand puppets. They don't have to be saying anything. It's going to be me blathering and the puppet moving and then just put it in front of pre-verbal infants. And that should be fine. And they will learn and they'll come out and their first words will be, Willoo, like that.
That sounds like me.
It does, but smaller. Even tiny little baby. Oh, my friends, thank you so much for being with me. And I will see you again next week.
I was standing. I was standing at the crossroads. And I thought I hit my
She said, take Jesus for your God.